Tjö, bär.
Tjö, bär.
Bop.
Boom. Boom shakalaka.
Good to be here with you, man.
Yeah.
What a treat.
What a treat and what a trap.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. It's been like, what, 12 years? 14 years? I don't even know, since we first met in New Zealand. And to sit here now is an honour, bro. Just, yeah, first of all, just like really taking a moment to acknowledge the work you've been doing, man, and what's been created here. It's like, it's been so awesome to see your whole evolution from days past into what is now. Yeah, man, just mad respect, bro. It's good to be here with you.
Kia ora, bro.
Kia ora.
Thank you for sharing, man. Mm. And for those that are just tuning in, thank you for tuning in, and thank you, Billy, for the acknowledgement off the bat, opening the podcast. Thank you, bro. For those that don't know Billy and are tuning in with Billy and I, really excited to have Billy sit next to me. And as you just mentioned, it's been 12 years since we first connected back in Kaikoura, South Island of New Zealand, as young hood rats, just creating mischief and you know, doing our best to fit in the culture of New Zealand. Mm-hmm. But man, really excited to have Billy here. He's a man of so many talents. His main, I would say, expression for this world right now is his storytelling through media. And I just had the opportunity to have Billy partake in our 5-day, 4-night immersive retreat to experience Call to Be Conscious, in essence, and what we do and what we share. And now seeing Billy capture and create that storytelling to enable a lot of you to feel into the essence of what CDBC stands for, and not just Billy assisting us with Call to Be Conscious. Billy's travelled throughout the world and worked with some amazing people. One off the bat, who I'm sure a lot of you are aware of, is Vishyan Lakhani, creator of Mind Valley. And he's a freaking powerhouse of wisdom and knowledge. And Billy got to head over there and experience that. But like, that's just the first off the bat, you know, like one that pops to mind. And more so heart is working with Krishna Das. And getting to journey with Krishna Das as he shares his medicine of song and dance with people. Oh, man. But yeah, like just giving you a snippet of what the brother here has traversed and explored over the past few years. Mm. You know, creating story for people and capturing moments for people and being able to see that through the lens of a camera and share that with the world is like such an art. And Billy has such a gift in doing that. But like, brother to brother, someone who I respect deeply, you know, on the journey of evolution and self exploration and inquiry. You know, Billy was someone who I actually went and called out towards as I first dove into the space. We were up in Tauranga at the time, and man, I didn't know really where to start, but Billy always had this, what I would say, softness and groundedness to him that for me in my old anxious state really magnetized towards, and he made me feel really comfortable around him. And the journey from then on has been what I would say somewhat seeing how I can cultivate that same energy in myself from the mirror being held up by you, brother. So thank you for holding that up, you know, back in 2018-19. And since then, the journey has unfolded, and here we are right now.
Yeah. And yeah. Bro. Oh, thank you, bro. Yeah, it's appreciate that. Again, like you mentioned, the mirror of like reflecting back to me what I am through being who and what you are, man. Yeah, it's a trip, you know, to think about like growing up in rural South Island, New Zealand, like farmer, Kiwi culture, harden up, mate, have a beer, that sort of thing. And both, you know, and knowing each other and the environment as well. And then I think really just having both made pretty big shifts away from that into just a different paradigm in recent years has been, for me, man, like so refreshing to have like someone who knows me from my past also know me now and to the depth that we understand each other. And it means a lot, bro. So thank you. And, as for the, like the storytelling, man, it's just really like what I see, we have such an amazing opportunity as, you know, this evolving culture progresses. The opportunity is to actually begin to expand these ideas and these experiences that we have within ourselves and use the tools of the internet and the tools of social media, podcasting, video, photography, design, websites, all of these amazing tools that we have to actually project these messages out, you know, 10, 100, 1000x out to the world. And it's the biggest gift that we have to be able to reach so many people. And it's also our biggest curse because it creates so much internal karma and internal discomfort to navigate through. And it's a responsibility. Hey, that's really what I've landed on in recent years, is that like the ability to tell a story and the ability to create influence in a community comes with such a massive responsibility. It's that Spider-Man vibe, bro. Like, with great power comes great responsibility, you know? And whether that power is like creativity and crafting a story, or it's just in like the network and the influence that Call to Be Conscious has and that you have, it's a lot to handle. And I hope that we can continue to refine what that means to have a platform, to have a network, to have a method of storytelling that can impact culture, because that's the only way we're going to turn this ship around.
Fully. I agree. And man, the ship is long. It's a big ship, you know, but I trust that we're really starting to pull the nose around, you know. And where it was headed was in that, what I feel, unintegrated, uneducated way of being connected with the way in which society is moving into this more, I would call, artificial intelligence, in essence, right? Where we struggle to be in that fast-paced world and society. You know, we as animals of the kingdom of earth are what I would say meant to be so interconnected with nature, with the ways or the natural flow of the seasons, and being in this infrastructure of concrete slabs, artificial lighting, toxins, pollutants is really the opportunity for us to incorporate the use of the tools to assist us with feeling still connected to the land, to the world, and I would say very ever so fast evolution that we're a part of. And that's what I feel our responsibility is. It's to assist those that are struggling to be in this world. In essence, you know, many of us struggle with mental health issues, trauma, stress, insecurities, fear. And it comes with responsibility as someone who has awoken to who we truly are at our core, to share that and to spread that and to remind people of how powerful and safe we can feel in our bodies. But if we didn't have the tools and didn't have the ability to share and capture and captivate people through their screens, then that's when we see the ship, you know, entering towards the tidal wave.
The iceberg.
The iceberg. Absolutely.
The proverbial iceberg.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So what have you seen throughout your journey be like the most pivotal tool or pivotal expression of community that's assisting the ship to steer back, you know, and swing back around?
Yeah, great question, man. I think, there's so many different micro threads in which we can look at as these like progressive conscious ideas, like, you know, breathwork being one, yoga being another, meditation, mindfulness being another, like authentic relating, you know, it's just the list goes on. but really what I've come to learn, and this has actually only been recently after going through, you know, the yoga phase, the vegan phase, the breathwork phase, the community phase, the travel thing, the digital nomad thing, like going through all of these different cycles, really what I've come to like understand, at least within myself and seen reflected in the world. And I've been really inspired by Charles Eisenstein on this one and his book, The More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible. Great book, incredible read. And really the essence of what all of those things entail is the interconnectedness of everything. The fact that we all are one consciousness. Really that realization in an embodied sense, and not just like, we're all one and everything's okay, you know, and I'm just going to not do anything because who cares about it anyway. It's like, it doesn't quite work like that. It's like, through the realization of understanding that interconnectivity between us, between the plants outside, between the sun and the beautiful dog Oakley and the fly that you painted over in your story, which may come out another time, is the realization that each action we take has such a profound impact on not only ourselves and our internal consciousness, but also on our bodies, but also on the people around us, and also on the people who aren't around us, you know, the people on the other side of the world. And one of the quotes that comes from that book, which really kind of like blew the concept out of my mind for me, was like, what if you're gazing at the sun in the sky and you're looking at the sun actually had an influence on how the sun felt? And I was like, oh shit, that was like, yeah, big download. So I think like, the fundamental shift that I see is this movement from this culture of separation and being like, that is yours and this is mine and we're in a competition against each other. Chimpanzee, hierarchical, you know, social structure and social hierarchy and these games in which, you know, to bring myself up, I have to claw you down. And I think that that's really a culture that you and I have been we're born into, and a lot of modern culture is. It's really shifting from that to like, actually, no, like my actions uplift me and uplift you and uplift all of these other cascading actors, elements that we don't even realize. So the way that I hold presence and with myself in the mirror while I'm brushing my teeth may have an impact on the guy who serves my lunch 4 hours later, because if I didn't take that moment to check in with myself in the mirror, maybe I'd be more pissed off and not treat that guy so nicely. So it is a meta concept, but I think really grounding that back to earth, it's like there's no denying that each tiny decision that we make has such a huge ripple effect. And to me, that's like more than enough reason to just be conscious of what I'm doing. And to practice doing good. And just my perception of good, not this dogmatic, like one way of what is good. It's like, actually know what feels good for you and turning that internal responsibility back on me or on you, if you're listening, as to like, what really feels good for me in this moment? Is it to have the steak, or is it to have the vegan salad? And it's tuning in on, okay, how does that impact my state of being? And then how does my state of being impact the world? I think that realization's really been the one that's been able to connect all of these seemingly disconnected threads into one line of truth for me. Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah,
I felt that, bro.
Keen to just hear, you know, obviously any feedback, but like what has that meant for you, man? Like I know that your journey and transition has been so huge. Particularly like it's so rapid and so profound and vast and like deep and widespread. So yeah, bro, over to you on that one.
Yeah, kia ora, bro. And those that are just tuned in with that and really felt that from Billy, like, yeah, that was beautiful, man. And thank you for sharing full power on it. The realization as well, off the back of what you just spoke into, of the fact that, you know, the way that we feel and how we vibrate, if we want to get more so quantum physics stated, like the way that we feel, the way that we are, is reciprocated by the world around us without even speaking or saying or doing anything. So realizing that the way that we feel is the most important aspect here and what creates our reality, holding those like moral values or thought and perceived values of the teachings from others or what we've been told and taught is right or wrong. And following that may make you feel really good about yourself in the sense of I'm being perceived as someone that's doing really good things, or I'm being seen as someone who's making a good impact on the world. But coming back to like, how are you actually feeling in your heart, in your soul and in your body? And tuning in with that essence of ourself and remembering that if I'm feeling really, really good and if I'm loving the world and I'm loving me, then that ripple effect is so much bigger than, I don't know, putting together a beach cleanup and spending 2 hours doing that, you know, and still feeling shit on the inside and in your heart, not fulfilled. But hey, I look like I'm doing a really good thing for the world. I know that's going to trigger a lot of people, but that's the truth for me. It's like, you know, hey, look at me. I'm fucking cleaning up the beach. You're all shit cunts. Excuse my language. because you're not cleaning up the beach. But hey, what if that person's actually, you know, spending time on their own so they're less reactive throughout their day and they're showing more compassion and love to those around them, the shopkeeper or, you know, the person at the fuel station that's doing your fuel. You know, if you nourished your heart, nourished your soul, filled your cup up so you're vibrant, you're feeling amazing, you know, you can show up and spread that vibrational frequency to everyone who you come in contact with, and the osmosis effect just takes place. You know, someone who just spent 2 hours cleaning up the beach to make themselves look good may be actually really freaking irritated by the end of it, and they finish their beach cleanup, head to the fuel station and get cut off. And flip the birdie or say fuck you to the guy that just cut them off. Like, that's just an example. But I feel in essence it's really honoring ourselves and doing what feels good for us in the journey is the most important aspect, and knowing that, you know, there's no like step-by-step module or book to become more aware or more compassionate or more accepting of the world or more connected to the world. There's no step-by-step process. There's only one's authentic, organic journey of opening that book up, you know. But what I've really noticed in throughout the last 4 years is how much we crave to be witnessed. And how much we need to be witnessed in some of those processes, and how important it is for our soul, or our spirit to have that eye or that heart of another witness itself through the healing processes and seeing that in real time through deeper work or deeper retreats or practitioner training camps. It's, for me, what really screams the loudest in the sense of the most important aspect of one's journey, and I feel for all humanity, is to be witnessed in that humility, in that vulnerability, in that like deep pain, you know, and having the mirrors or having the eyes of someone who's traversed and been through it to see you with that encompassing unconditional love is what community is about. You know, when we're riding the high, another is riding a low and dip down to the low, and that one in the high will witness you in that with love, excitement, knowing that, you know, on the other end of that low is the highs again, and we're just riding that wave of continuation of up and down and not attaching to either side, but just being the witness in both and observing the both, you know.
Yeah, man. Beautifully said, bro. And I think what pops up for me within that is like that there is this game of polarity that we're existing within, you know, coming back to the point before. It's like, yeah, on one level, everything is this one consciousness, but we also live in a dualistic world of yin and yang, light and dark, hot and cold, slow and fast, all of these complementary opposites, masculine, feminine, red and blue, you know. I'm not going to go down that route. And we have to learn how to mold and to fit within that journey of living in polarity, because you try and live too much in the spirit and too much in the oneness, you can come crashing back down to earth. And like, I know that from personal experience, you know, it's not a fun ride. And you try and live too much in like in the worldly density of, you know, the drugs and the alcohol and the party and the sensory pleasure and all the things, like that's also a destructive path, which we know what the final end of that journey is as well. So it's like you can't sit for too long at either end of the spectrum, and therefore I believe that our work is to learn how to live on that center line and to adapt and flow with what our environment is asking of us. Something that I really respect about you, man, is like that where you're at in your journey now and having this brand that's like Cool to Be Conscious, you know, and it's about consciousness. So it's very much focused in one area of life and one end of that spectrum, which is awakening, which is light, so to speak. Something I really respect about you within that is your ability to still keep your feet planted on the earth and keep it real, you know, like keep it real, bro. No bullshit around here. It's a real trait, man. It's a real honor, and it's something I see a lot in these, you know, awakening circles, is this like messiah complex and this huge ego thing that comes with it. Again, see that within myself and have seen that in years past. And yeah, I think your ability to just like stay grounded and like relate to the world and like meet modern culture in a place where it's at, like where everybody's at, is a powerful thing, man. Even if it's like, you know, you're getting on the digger and like digging a hole for your spring here, or just like changing the wheels on the car and like treating that as your process of awakening. It's like that can be found in these daily actions. And yeah, man, I'm just curious to hear you speak into that a little more, because I think it's something you embody really beautifully.
Mm. Oh, bro, thanks for giving me the opportunity. It's something that I haven't really touched into, nor do I really share, you know, with anyone. And I feel, you know, a line from Ram Dass is needed right now, and it went something like, it is easy to be meditative and in love with the processes from a cave in the Himalayas, the real work lays in the midst of the chaos in modern society. See how meditative you can be there, you know. And for me, that comes with the daily processes of one's life and actions and practices that we always seem to see as mundane or boring or a chore.
Mm.
And what I've practiced and what I continue to practice doing is seeing how much I can fall in love with every process and practice during the day, you know, because the more that I push against what is in front of me or what is being asked of me, the more that I create suffering for myself. So the invitation is there constantly and will be there throughout the day, you know. So like, what is being asked of you right now today, or what was asked of you today, and how much did you push against that certain task or process, whether that be clean the dishes, for a real short example here, like how much can you fall in love with doing the dishes?
Mm.
Like that is a practice, man. And when I moved in with Jess, she had a dishwasher and she used to love using the dishwasher. And I said to Jess, well, she used to see me doing the dishes, you know, and I'd just really enjoy it. And from the programming and from what we've been brought up to believe, that doing the dishes is a chore and it sucks and no one wants to do it, to me going to Jess, no, I want to do the dishes tonight. And she going, what do you mean? Like, that concept for her was like mind-blowing. But for me, it's such a simple practice, or getting the opportunity to do that was such a gift. And where I feel that gift comes from is realizing the fact that simply being in a human form, being able to experience a human life, is in itself the most profound miracle like ever. When we can conceptualize that coming from like the soup or the great form of consciousness and being separated into these different forms of expression of consciousness through the human vessel, gives me the ability to freaking love everything that I'm experiencing, whether that be changing the tires, whether that be getting knee deep in mud and like loving it. And I feel we can all get to this without having these experiences of different forms of going through what we'd label as like ego deaths. But honestly, after that one that I had with the THC medicine, it was about a year ago, that for me clicked something deep in my soul or deep in my body that gave me the opportunity to almost relive everything for the first time. And it was like, because I thought I was gone. I thought that was it when I had that heart attack. I thought that was my last moment, you know, my last breath. And man, when I came out of that experience, the first thing that I knew I needed to do was resolve any tension that was between me and another person. I needed to heal any relationship that had resentment or anger or any kind of pain towards one another. And it was so clear when I came out. I was like, I need to heal every relationship that is in my life that has any kind of tension or unresolved emotion in it. And that was my practice. It's like, I need to heal that. Like, something in me knew that as I was about to pass over, that if there were any energetical cords or like anyone that was feeling resentful towards me or any kind of negative emotion towards me, I knew that there would be a challenge for me to go to the next place or next plane of existence. And that was like, you know, not something that I'd read or researched. That was just like so real for me and alive for me in that moment. And also with that came this excitement to be in my body again, like, because I thought I'd lost it. I thought I was done. I thought my life experience was done, and that was the full stop on my story. And, you know, I was challenging that concept during that experience. I was like, man, I've got so much more to do here on Earth. I've got so many more people to bring together in community and experience life with. And I was like challenging and challenging and resisting what was happening to me, which was my heart racing and pounding out of my chest. I was going to almost like a cathartic, what I would say, a cathartic bounce, where I was losing in and out of consciousness in my body, and I was kind of pulsating on myself, trying to keep my eyes open and stay there. And I was just, it was like, the analogy would be, I was just like hanging on to the bar as long as I could. I was hanging there and the weight was getting heavier and heavier, and I was just like, my fingers were about to like fall off. I was holding on that tight. And the moment that I let go was the moment that like I fell and then realized I had wings. You know, it was like, you've actually got wings, man. All you have to do is let go. And that moment was like the bliss of the realization of, man, the more we push against or resist something, the more that it will come and create the suffering or the pain in life. And I guess the full circle of the journey is that, you know, if I'm being asked, or if life is asking me to change some wheels on a van, hey, I'm going to freaking love that opportunity and not push against and really practice experiencing, being a human and being in the body of changing wheels on the ute, you know. So, yeah, I trust that that's encapsulated that question. But I guess in every day for me, I see where I'm resisting the most of the world or the most of my day. And I'll do my best to fall in love with whatever that is a little bit more, whether that be taking the rubbish to the bin or rinsing a plate, or whether that be getting into my emails and scanning through my messages. You know, if I feel a little bit of resistance or a little bit of like, oh man, I've got to get into these emails and catch up with all of this admin, catching myself there and going, hey, bro, like, you've got an amazing opportunity here to reply to somebody, to read someone's message, to read someone's words from their heart, or to experience something with somebody or assist someone in some way from my own experiences. So it's like catching myself in those moments where I try and create suffering for myself and go, hey, bro, like, you've got this opportunity, remember, to be in your human body, and it's not going to last long. So make the most of it and see how much you can fall in love with these processes that we somewhat deem as mundane or boring or annoying or irritable or negative, you know, and inspire others to do the same thing by doing that. And like, on that, what you'd spoken to before of like, you know, the, I can't remember what word you used, but somewhat the ego self or the spiritual ego self who would put himself on a high horse and say, oh no, I can't get my hands dirty anymore. I'm a spiritual teacher. I lead communities. I lead events. You know, I'm too good to get my hands dirty and greasy or get in the garden and get my body muddy. That for me would be such destructive behavior, like, not to myself, but also to those around me who look up to me and who trust in, you know, what I have to say. You know, those that are listening right now somewhat have that, have spent time investing in listening to our voices come through the microphone. And I want to do my best to remind everybody about how amazing it is to be a human and to experience all things on the pendulum or within that polarity, not to shy away from what we are deemed to see as negative or dark or painful, but to like lean into it all with curiosity and fascination and excitement to be in your freaking body right now, to be who you are and to open yourself to that experience more and more each day. You know, hanging out the washing. How much can I love hanging out the washing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man. I think, like, so beautifully said. And I think to bring that all into one point is, like, again, Ramdas, you do what you do because that's what the harmony of the universe requires. It's like, if the dishes need doing, that's it, you know, in order for Jess to feel relaxed and settled in her evening, you fucking do the dishes, man. Like, If you need to like change the wheels so me and Amy can go on a road trip in the van, we're going to get into changing the wheels, you know, and surrender all the costs, the like energetic costs, the financial costs, the time cost, the mental cost to the process to allow it to really just be that loving presence with life. So yeah, man, beautifully said. And the fact that you had this, what sounds like, yeah, just like incredibly potent, profound, embodied experience of what that essence means to you. And, you know, no words will ever encapsulate that feeling. But the fact that you were able to take that experience of oneness, peace, bliss, God, whatever you want to call it, and ground it back down into driving the digger and into like, yeah, pulling the weeds, so to speak. Pulling weeds being such an analogy for how we work with the shadow as well. It's such a beautiful thing, man. And really the, you know, again, it's just coming from the perspective of Ram Dass, who I know has been a massive teacher for me and has been for you too and for so many out there. It's like karma yoga, the yoga of everyday life, you know, and the yoga of getting the task done for the sake of the peace of your own being and the peace of the space and the peace of everybody else involved. Yeah, it's a powerful practice to bring in line. Got some interesting activity going on outside. We got Oakley knocking at the door. He's coming in for some karma yoga.
He is. He's coming in to teach us presence. Distractions in the background.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and to teach everyone else here presence as well. That's where we refine it back in.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, I think like karma yoga, bang, nailed. What's alive for you, bro?
Karma yoga?
Oh, just in this space where we, yeah, I'm going to just take a moment to see where this conversation wants to go next. So.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk into also how my earlier journey as a young lad, young teenager has really impacted my ability to just do as well, you know, and when I look back at the way that I was parented as a young lad on the farm. I was taught how to work, like physically, so hard. There was no complaining. It was, you do the work done. You don't do the work done. You do the work when the work's there, like not when it's ready.
Mm.
And that was always the mentality on the farm.
Can you just define that a bit deeper? You do the work when the work is there, not when it's ready?
Yeah. What? Yeah, you do the work when it's there, not when the work is ready.
Yeah.
So on the farm, we have to make hay when the sun shines. We have to dust the paddocks when the paddocks are mulched in by the cattle. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is that there was no, I'll save that, I'll do that later, or I'll do that next week, or I'll do that tomorrow. It was like, no, you get on the tractor right now and you get it done, like when it's ready.
Mm.
And you do it until it's done. Like in the sense of, we used to work for 18 hours a day sometimes, you know, and we wouldn't finish until it was done. The reason being is because if the grass got to a certain level of dryness or that it lacked the moisture in the grass, it wouldn't fermentate and create good nutrients for the cattle through the winter. So you had to go, man, until all the grass was off the paddock. And even if we had like a forecast of northwest winds, we knew that it was going to get really dry. So we had to go through the night to get it all done. So that kind of what I would say like fundamental programming of my early years has really sedimented this mentality or ability to see a task at hand and instead of think of ways around it or think of ways to do it, I'll just do it.
Mm.
Like I just do it. I just get stuck in and do it until it's done. And it's something that I feel Jess has really picked up on more so than myself, having like that self-reflection. You know, when we're in it, we're in it. We're not kind of analyzing or questioning the things that we're doing, but Jess always brings forward to me the fact of you get everything done, and I know that you're going to get it done when you say that. And that comes with the responsibility of the masculine essence within us. It's like integrity, it's your word. And, you know, if I say to Jess, hey, I'm going to chop some wood and get the fire going tonight, I've got to do that. You know, I've got to do that. I can't just say that, not do it. Not just for Jess, but for myself, for my word. You know, I grew up as someone who was a massive people pleaser. I would always overpromise and underdeliver massively. And for the reasons being of I wanted to gain friends. I wanted to have people around me. And growing up on the farm, growing up in the country, I didn't have many people around me. And a lot of my friends went to boarding school, high school, etc. And I was left on the tractor on the farm. So I'd be someone that would finish a 12-hour shift and say, lads, I'm going to finish up. Come see us. And I was on my learner's license and I was driving like an hour and a half into town to go and catch up with the boys, have a beer. And I'd drive home and drive tractors for the next day, you know. But moments in that when I would say, yeah, I'm going to be there, and then we'd end up working through the night and I wouldn't be there. Those little phrases or moments in time where I lacked my integrity or lacked honouring my word, I was losing that self-respect and self-love, which led me into that destructive pattern of built-up emotion of really guilt and shame in my body. And now, so after, you know, doing a lot of self-discovery and inquiry into those feelings and emotions and where they really originated from, but also eliminating and removing a lot of that stagnant energy from my system, I now realize how important it is to not enable myself to go down that route again of non-honoring or respecting of my own word or integrity, because I know how much that influences my self-worth, self-love, and in essence my vibrational frequency and how I interact with the world. If I was someone who taught breathwork and meditation and I never practiced breathwork and meditation, that'd be a form of non-embodiment and I would lack integrity there. And the way that I would show up in the world would probably be with a lot of guilt, self-guilt, internal guilt. And that feeling that I would provide to others, they would feel it. They'd feel this lack of embodiment. And that would mean that the way that I was interacting with the world was very, I would say, disharmonious, because what I'm sharing with the world isn't what I practice in the world or in my world. And this comes back to that conversation at the beginning. Like, we can do things that we think people are going to perceive as great or good, but if we're not internally embodied in what we're doing or believe in, then you're creating more destruction in your system, in your heart, in your soul. You know, someone, for example, who... I don't want to bring up the vegan example again because I know that's just it's an easy one to go to.
Yeah.
But, you know, those that are vegan for reasons being they want to be perceived as someone who's doing great things for the world, for the animals, for the planet, yet are supporting mass farming of horticulture, agriculture, of planting of seeds, barley grasses, and, you know, the offsets of gases, fuels is tenfold to a cattle. Who is brought up on a regenerative farm, who's assisting the growth and what I would say nutrient system within an ecosystem. And we don't need to dive into that further, but my example is the fact that that person has chosen to be a vegan for that reason, thinking they're doing good. But what's happening to their body is potentially the nutrient deficiency and the lowering of the feeling, the vibrancy, the health in the body, which is reflected in the way that we're interacting with the world and the way that it interacts with us.
Yeah.
But those vegans that are thriving, healthy, aho, like, I'm happy for you. Like, it's coming back to, like, what brings you health, what brings you vibrancy, what makes you feel amazing inside of your body, inside of your heart, and knowing that that is more important than whatever you label yourself as.
Mm. Yeah, man. Mm. Well said, bro. And I think, you know, the deeper layer to that is, like, just coming back to the example of the horticulture and the agriculture, is like, what is that farming then doing to the soil, which is then rippling out into various cascading effects within a global ecosystem of, you know, contributing to climate change, this ecosystem collapse, like that monoculture farming method. So really it's like, how are your decisions impacting an ecosystem? And like, you know, vegan diet, paleo, 100% meat, fruitarian, breatharian, like it's all the same trip when you boil it down to like, what impact are you making on the planet, on community, and also like, how are you holding that belief and that way for yourself? Are you holding it in a way of, this is the way, and this is the way that everybody else should do it? Or are you holding it in a way of, this is my way, and I'm going to do it the best I can without the necessity to prove or to change or to influence or to judge or to project onto another? And I think, you know, reflecting on a conversation that we had about this yesterday, is like, how can we create, instead of like a judgment-free zone, how can we create a projection-free zone, where we're not actually, we're not projecting our ideas and our beliefs onto how someone else should be showing up in the world. Instead, we're like, cool, man, you're doing the plastic-free, waste-free thing really well. And you're over there, you're doing the commitment to an hour-long morning practice every day really well. And you're over there, you're driving electric cars and you're not consuming oil. You're doing that great. And you're over there, you're just eating meat and it's just organic and it's just grass-fed, and you're also doing that great. And all of us are sitting at this round table celebrating each other's successes, because we understand that those are the things that ultimately unify us, and that we can't do everything perfectly all the time. We can try, but we're not going to get very far. And therefore, it's like, how can we choose a couple of things that we really believe in and then do everything else like kind of well? And it's okay if we fuck up in that. It's okay if you don't meditate in the morning. It's okay if your cheese that you buy from the supermarket is wrapped in plastic. Like, that's not going to have the impact relative to the impact that it has on your emotional state when you do that. And really, on that note of just like interconnectivity, it's like, it feels to me anyway that we need this world more supportive, uplifting, collaborative, using your word, just like to be seen in our gifts and to be gently encouraged to clean up our act in the places where we haven't got it sorted. But also, that's like a journey of many lifetimes, you know? Like, there's this idea of purity is actually unattainable for where we're at in modern society. Yeah, man. I wanna just come back to what you were saying there about integrity as well, because I feel like it does tie into this thread of like, what is integral with the world, and what is integral with nature and the evolution of our species and the evolution of this existence as a whole and our relationship with the earth. There's that piece, which is like, what is integrity to that? But you spoke really beautifully to like, what is integrity with ourselves, and like, what is that contract with ourselves? And I think that from what I heard you say, it's like, our word is our contract. And that is a very masculine, not just for men, but it's a very masculine, structured, driven essence of, we say something and we follow through. And yeah, man, there's so much avoidance out there, particularly like I even see it within myself. Someone's like, oh, bro, like, let's hang out next week. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, maybe. Let's see how we flow, you know. And it's just like it leaves me feeling like I've now got this open tab that I have to get back to and actually tell them I'm not that keen to hang out because I've got too much going on. And then they're like, oh, is Billy, like, does he even like me? Da-da-da, being, you know. So I think, you know, we have this real opportunity to really hone in and get so definitive with what is the message and what is their message and what is the intention that we're wanting to put out into the world and how is that embodied through coming from our thoughts into our words and through our actions. I feel like there's a thread there that is then opening into like the men's work, which is also a whole other can of worms for us to open. But this need for the knowledge of self and the knowledge of what self-integrity means really is the core of that karma yoga, the core of the service and the yoga of everyday life and the doing what you do because that's what the harmony of the universe requires, is understanding what is that feeling of integrity, which is also what is my highest joy, what is my highest good, what is my highest expression of self-love, and allowing that to be expressed.
In full.
Mm.
In full as it is and as it wants to be.
Mm.
Yeah, boy. I love what you just said then. And what it brought up for me was following that truth in you speaking and sharing what is real or alive for you in your integrity is what gives others, firstly, the permission to do the same thing. When you honor yourself for what's true for you in those moments when you're asked, hey, do you want to hang out, you know, tomorrow? And you already know the answer.
Mm.
But instead of saying, you know, oh, I'll get back to you later on, and prolonging that experience for both of you, instead of going, hey, I would love to another time, but right now I need to, you know, take it easy tonight, or I need to, you know, I've got some stuff to do. That person then has the ability to shift their plans or to get someone else into fill your spot. Rather than creating the suffering between the both of you, you know, you're sitting at your house going, oh, fuck, I've got to figure out how now I'm going to navigate this conversation.
Mm.
It's like you're prolonging the suffering rather than just going, hey, man, this is actually what's real for me right now. And, nah, I don't want to go to the football game, or I don't want to go to the pub, or I don't want to run a breathwork journey with you, like, because I don't. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's full circles back to like the self-love and the ability to honor your expression and your humanness, you know, rather than trying to fit in, people please, and put yourself in really uncomfortable positions to fit into the community or to chameleon yourself into certain areas or situations to please others is the journey. Mm. It's like, that's the journey. And remembering that and realizing that we're not missing out on anything. Mm. We're not missing out on anything that, you know, you get invited to a concert or a festival and in your core you're like, oh man, I don't want to go. But that part of you is like, no, you're going to miss out.
Mm.
You're going to miss out. And that comes back to creating rituals and practices that really enable you to come to your vibrancy or your level of safety and comfort inside of your body on your own, you know, and then being able to experience these other experiences without the attachment of needing to experience those experiences for those, I think, pleasure parts of self that need to feel stimulated to create distractions or to create experiences for no reason or to please or to make someone feel comfortable because they were going to go alone without you.
Mm.
But to just honor yourself in those moments and just say, hey, nah, I'm going to chill at home and read a book, or am I going to have a meal on my own, or whatever your truth is for you, just like allowing yourself to really express that is the journey of coming back to self.
I think, yeah, man, you touched on a really primal concept there, which is this possible, like this desire to please and this desire to be seen and be heard and be loved and fit into the tribe of primal beings who are trying to fight against the forces of nature for survival. And that if we don't have the support of the people around us, and if we break those social codes and constructs with misaligned action, then we will be left to die alone in the bush without the wolf that's been hunted and eaten, or without the antelope, or without the fresh pickings of berries, you know, that obviously using caveman context here, just to really ground it in that primal nature, is we need to feel as though we are welcomed and accepted by our community. And that is really the survival fear that comes online when it's like, no, I don't want to go to the pub or run the breathwork journey with you. Like, and both of those things being such polarizing ideas, it comes from the same source, that fear that if I don't please this person, I'm not going to survive and I'm going to die alone. And that's a heavy concept, but it's actually like the fundamental of it. And I know for myself that whenever I've been in those moments of like your THC journey, like that being really on that edge of letting it all go, so to speak, that all I want to do is be held and loved by the people that I love. I don't want the Instagram photo. I don't want the car. I don't want the new clothes. I don't want the money. It's like, I want to feel like I'm a part of a family. Yeah, man. There's a real, there's something so potent in that understanding.
There is. And that's that fact of we need community. We need community. We need people around us to say, hey, bro, fuck, I've got you, man. Like, whatever you need to process right now, like, I've got you. And having, you know, sisters as well that can hold you, and knowing how nurturing that feminine mothering energy is. And I'm talking on behalf of the men listening, how much we need that. You know, there's moments that I just ask Jess to hold me, to just, you know, hold my body, hold my head. And 5 minutes of that is like, you know, a 3-hour meditation. Yeah. Well, it's like a 3-hour breathwork journey. You know, sometimes we just need to be held. And this is what community is great for as well, you know.
Yeah, man. Yeah, on that note, like, I think just briefly going into the men's stuff, because I know that's something we're super passionate about. And just before we kind of open that one up further, I just want to acknowledge all the women that are listening as well, and know that there's such amazing work being done for the reclamation of the feminine and the empowerment of it. And like this, I just express so much love and support and admiration for that work. And yeah, just thank you for allowing the collective masculine to slowly but surely make this transition and turn the ship away from the iceberg, so to speak. Yeah, just really knowing that the work that the men do is ultimately to serve the feminine forms of existence in a more potent way. So thank you. And then on the contrary to the men, like, whoa, we have got some work to do, eh? And, you know, you and I haven't just been through this experience with the immersive experience retreat and at Soma, and working with a group of men and having gone on our own journeys with men in the past. Like, to me, it feels like the patriarchy and this idea, all of these like masculine structures in the world of capitalism, of, you know, excessive growth without consideration for the consequences, of testosterone, of dominance, of you know, building structure to make society move forward, and we're going to do this. It can only get us so far in this game of competition and in this game of pulling each other down to lift each other up. And just to my brothers out there, near and far, this time and this work is such a calling for us to understand our hearts and our desires and our missions in so much of a deeper way, and actually embody that and know that that's not, again, like what we were speaking about with the diet, or, you know, making all these decisions around integrity before, it's not this place we can arrive at and be like, oh sweet, I've like found my platform of righteousness and I am now embodied in the work and that's me, you know. Next level is the next time I'm born into another human body, like into another masculine body. No, it's like this constant process of evolution that we have to chip away and chip away and chip away at our being. And yeah, I just feel really passionate about that, particularly for the guys in like New Zealand and Australia. We just have this such a toxic culture of not allowing each other to be vulnerable, to be seen in the challenges that we experience, and instead to cover it up with various different substances, like activities, hobbies, culture, language, like all of these things that really numb that. And something I'd love to see more of is just more embodied men who are open with their hearts, but also like connected to their balls, you know. A guy that I follow, Trevor Baum from Man Uncivilized, which is an awesome thing to check out, is like one of his principles is like stay connected to your head, your heart and your balls, and know which one to act from when. And you know, there's a time where we have to apply the incredible brains that we've been given to solve a problem, and then, you know, that might be great for if you're in business. And then the heart is like, there's a time to really bring in the heart if, you know, your woman needs holding or your brother needs support. And then the time to come in, you know, and bring in the balls is when you really need to like lean beyond your edge of fear, or you really need to penetrate your way through a challenge that you're experiencing in life. I just feel really passionate about this balance of the integrated man and what that looks like in today's culture. Yeah, man. And I think, you know, what I'd be keen for you to jam on, because I know that you've been on a big journey with this as well, is like, what does that look like from the world that we've come from and that we're still in, to what is this like evolving way that we are experiencing as a collective group of men?
Kia ora, bro. Firstly, just thank you for acknowledging the feminine and honouring that and the reclamation of that through really creating embodied, integrated men in the world are going to enable the woman to really feel supported and safe to flourish in their essence. And yeah, man, we've been having some powerful conversations of what in which we can create for men to explore and to inquire and to be challenged. And that's how I see a lot of what we do moving forward roll through. It's like providing men opportunities to actually have that self-reflection, to be seen in whatever they've been in and whatever they've moved through, with a sense of acceptance but also responsibility to enable them to move through whatever they haven't moved through in full, in essence, that I guess continues to show up in their world that they may be aware of that's creating destructive patterns or behaviors, but they don't know how to stop those patterns and behaviors. And providing tools and providing practices to create that accountability, and like the drawing of the sword, and what you spoke into before was a reiteration of the ongoing processes and the ongoing humility around learning and developing our knowingness and our ways in which that we show up for ourselves, for the men around us, and for our sisters, for the women in the world, and having a brotherhood and having men's work available for men to make their priority, or, you know, like a gym membership, you know, signing up to a brotherhood or signing up to this work to be continually tested and to be continually questioned and supported, held, loved at the same time is what I really see us creating for men. And approaching it in a more integrated way, in the sense of, you know, not throwing these men into a warrior ring, like getting one another to be primal and to become the gorilla in the zoo and express the essence of himself to return to his power, but to really, I feel, embody and invite in the integrated light masculine, which is grounded, which is in his body, which is able to be responsive from his heart rather than from that head or from his balls, and to really give himself the ability to discern the difference and make the choice from discernment rather than like being reactive and going balls or head or heart, you know, and teaching the differentiation between that, I feel, is needed and is missing. So that excites me, and know the men that are listening and are potentially having some moments of activation listening to Billy and I talk into this work, know that we are really excited to bring this forward to you all and start, yeah, standing next to one another as brothers. You know, I was going to say lead brothers, but we're here doing our best and we're all learning together. It's a matter of just creating the opportunity and the environment for us to come together and have open conversations and to explore different concepts and hold and witness one another in those concepts.
It is really a circle way. Like, and that's the fundamental shift, funnily enough, is like from this triangular hierarchical structure into a circular collaborative ecosystem of mutual support. Yeah, man. Yeah, really excited about what is coming on the horizon and some good ideas and, yeah, some things to be released. Yeah, man, I think there's, you know, one point you mentioned there around the gorilla and that that like primal energy of the like, to use the polarity of what you mentioned with the light masculine, like the dark masculine, and you know, I think fundamentally there's like an imbalance of that kind of aggressive warrior energy in male modern culture, and it comes out in domestic violence, it comes out in the macho bravado thing, in sport, and you know, the list goes on. And simultaneously, one of the pitfalls of the evolution of consciousness is that we then pendulum swing into an imbalance of the light, where it's like, now I'm this spiritual guy who doesn't work out, doesn't nourish his body well, like is kind of living in his head and heart the whole time and floating around on cloud nine where everything's bliss and I just live in the flow and I don't really have an income, but like everything's all good, you know. It's and obviously I'm speaking with a lot of judgment here, and once again touching on that this has been me, but I think there's this really beautiful unification that these spaces can allow to bring online in order to harmonize where the different men are in the group. You know, it's like some men need to be punched in the face to like really bring them back down to like what is actual reality and like what are the consequences of my actions if I don't know how to defend myself. And, you know, more importantly, like what is the consequences of how that might impact my woman or my family? And to be hit in the face literally with that stark reality is, I think, part of the conscious journey of evolution. And then on the contrary, it's like the men that are stuck in the who are like comfortable in that culture of aggression and us versus them competition. Sometimes they just need a hug or just need some loving touch or to get a hongi and have someone look them in the eyes and say, I love you and I see you and I hear you and I feel your heart, and to have that cracked open. And I think the really beautiful essence of this work from my perspective is that we can create unified spaces that allow both of those things to have their work done side by side without judgment, hopefully without projection, and to just to find our common ground among that, whether you're, you know, whether you're the guy who loves the spirit and doesn't really feel motivated to work out that much, or whether you're the guy who's like, nah, that's all a bit fucking woo-woo for me and I'm just going to like stay in my lane of comfort, there's something there for you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Kia ora, bro. Kia ora, man. And it excites me so much to be able to bring that together and find the balance in that. And yeah, man. I'm just excited.
Yeah, I just wanted to note that, like, I mentioned punched in the face, but, like, you probably aren't going to get punched in the face unless you're unlucky at a men's circle. But it's probably more like shirts off, wrestling in the dirt without trying to injure each other, but to challenge. Little caveat. Come to a men's circle and just take a punch in the face, bro. It's going to change your life, I promise.
It's the rite of passage. Just one straight to the nose.
Yeah.
Square on.
Oh,
shit, brother.
Yeah.
You know, this, I guess, full circles into what we're here doing, and, you know, what we're using to share these tools and practices through the socials, through our expression, through being embodied and allowing people to feel that within us, but also just doing our best and continuing to do that. And like, bro, I'm blessed to be able to do that with you. And I'm excited to see where this journey takes us and what's to come. Yeah, really enjoyed this conversation. I know that this is the first of many, probably on the podcast. And yeah, bro, it's been a pleasure.
Mm. Yeah, likewise, man. Like I said at the beginning, you know, just like massive respect and love for the platform and community that your intention has brought online. It's such a gift. And, you know, there's so many other amazing projects out there, and this is one of the ones that is really doing some deep work and where society really needs it as well. So, yeah, I respect you a lot for that, man. And I'm excited to continue to contribute to Call to Be Conscious behind the scenes, make some videos.
Yeah.
The karma yoga of video editing is my life.
In those moments now that you're like, oh, my Mac's just frozen.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, oh, Ryan, Tommy, just love this process.
Yeah, yeah. It's
just, oh, I love the freeze.
Just love it, bro. Just breathe into the heart.
Yeah. And
like, yeah, meditate on the spinning wheel on the yeah, it's good, brother. Yeah, kia ora, bro. Thank you for having me, man.
I love you, bro, and thank you. And I've been blessed to spend some nourishing time with you and Amy, and it's been amazing to have you both here, and I really enjoyed that experience and all, and to be able to full circle it back to really giving you the experience of what I do has been a real gift. And yeah, man, to the kids we once were, you know, causing chaos in the Kaikoura skate park and at the dairy getting $5 mixtures, like, to those boys, like, man, just saying and sending a message back to them going, you men have got, you know, a lot coming, and to just buckle up and get ready and to trust in the path and to trust in emotions, and those that are listening, you know, potentially going through some hardship or challenge, just frick, keep seeing how much you can love that process and trust in the path, and you're being guided.
Yeah, kia ora, bro. Kia ora to that one, eh? Shot, man.
Love you, bro.
Love you. Dos.
Dos.
If you enjoyed this, fam, and you got a lot from this conversation, which I trust you have, and if you haven't, all good too, just delete the podcast and follow us. But if you did love it, we'd really appreciate a 5-star review where we share on the story. We love seeing shares and what came through for you, what you enjoyed about it. But yeah, big love. And we'll chat soon. Ja bless.
Ja bless. Hey, one final plug there just before you wrap up, bro, is if you're in Australia and New Zealand and you're a man and you're looking for some good mahi, Cool to Be Conscious is a dope platform for that. And also, yeah, we have a project beginning in New Zealand called Bros NZ. You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram. And yeah, we also intend to bring that work to Australia, and that will be the platform for collaboration.
Oosh.
So keep an eye out. Let's bring it online. Let's change this culture. Yeah.
Cheer, brother. And Billy Lewis on Instagram.
Mm.
Get him on there.
Yeah, billylewis.nz. Cheer. Okay. I think that's us, eh, bro?
Yeah.
Yeah.